Please welcome Tim Crowley.
The southeast slope of Black Hill and Morro Bay is steep and is covered with a thick tangle of coastal scrub. A few scattered boulders stick up through that layer of brush. And if you look up and look closely on a still, sunny morning, you might see turkey vultures perched on those stones, doing what vultures do best, waiting. And they're waiting because that slope is sheltered from the westerly winds, and it catches the first rays of the day, so it heats up quicker than the ground around it. And when it gets warm enough, it heats the air directly over it. And when that air gets warm enough, it starts to rise. And that's what those vultures are waiting for, the first thermal of the day. Because vultures are big birds. They can weigh more than 3 pounds, and they have wingspans of up to 6 feet. And it takes a lot of energy to keep something that big aloft. But instead of using energy to flap those huge wings, vultures, whenever they can, soar. So if you watch and wait long enough in the morning, you might see a vulture leap from its rocky perch and glide back and forth across a slope, searching for that first current of rising air. And if it doesn't find one, it flaps back to its boulder and it waits. And I've always wondered if it's just the young, inexperienced vultures that make those first experimental leaps into space, desperately trying again and again to get airborne. I don't want you to think that I have some kind of weird fascination with vultures. It's just that they're one of the many things I've watched and wondered about when I look up, and I look up a lot. I always have, and I always will. Because there's so much to see up there. There's trees and birds and mountains and clouds. And when you look up at night, you can even see other worlds. And I still look up whenever I hear an airplane, because airplanes were my first love. I used to go out in my front yard and look south and watch those big pink, orange, and white PSA airliners on final approach into Hollywood Burbank Airport. And occasionally, on those rare and wondrous days, the winds and the landing pattern would shift. And those 727s would roar low, slow, and impossibly loud right over our house. And I made models of those airliners and of just about every other kind of plane and helicopter that I watched bombing the hell out of Vietnam on the 6 o'clock news. I must have spent hours and hours of my childhood building those models, my face just inches away from that tube of airplane glue that we couldn't buy unless I had a note from my parents. And when I was done, I'd hang the model from my ceiling with a piece of fishing line. And when the Sylmar earthquake hit in 71, my bedroom floor looked like the Battle of Britain. And I didn't make many models after that earthquake because I turned 13 that year and things were starting to change. The following year was my last year of Catholic school and also the year I quit the Boy Scouts. But I didn't quit cold turkey. I became an explorer. You had to be 14 to be an explorer, and each post had a specialty. They had police explorers and fire explorers. I joined Air Explorer Squadron 8, sponsored by the now defunct Western Airlines. And we did some cool things. We went on tours and field trips, like to the control tower of the Hollywood Burbank Airport. And I was enthralled watching those controllers guide a 727 in for a perfect landing. And a little while later, they were scoping out that jet while it was parked through their binoculars, making positive and approving comments. And a controller passed some binoculars around, and I looked through them, and I was enthralled by the smiling PSA stewardesses in their miniskirts with pink and orange miniskirts with matching hats and go-go boots. And they were even more beautiful than airplanes. But I didn't join the explorers to go on field trips. I joined to fly. And the very first time I ever flew was in a glider, those elegantly simple and beautiful aircraft that rely on pilot skill and nature to stay aloft. And I took maybe 15 lessons and was getting kind of close to soloing. But I was also getting older and distracted by things like mountains and marijuana and girls. So I quit the Explorers and I ran away to the mountains. And about 5 years later, I was on top of a mountain, Mount Bain Powell, the fourth highest peak in the San Gabriel Mountains. A friend and I had kicked our way up to the summit through the snow on a beautiful spring weekend. And we were looking down on the Mojave Desert over a mile below us, and we were kings of the world. Until out of nowhere, a sailplane swooped down, silent and swift, like a great white raptor. It banked into a tight turn around us, and we could see the pilot inside reclining, and he was waving and yelling, and we yelled back and started throwing snowballs at him as he climbed higher and higher into the sky, when suddenly it hit me, like a snowball smacking into a glider. I was working for the railroad, and I could afford to fly. And the very next week, I started taking soaring lessons again. And I spent the next couple of years, quite a bit of money and time, soaring over the Southern Mojave and the San Gabriel and San Bernardino Mountains. And soaring, like most aviation, can cost a lot of money, especially getting towed up behind that tow plane. So in the morning, you'll see all the gliders at the glider port and the pilots waiting for that first thermal. And usually, it's either the experienced pilots or the inexperienced, impatient pilots that take those first tows. And many times, I paid for that tow and glided back down and had to try again and again. That was over 30 years ago, and I haven't piloted anything since. And I haven't really climbed many mountains since either. But I am on top of Black Hill most every day, usually twice a day, with my dog, Selah. And we were up there a couple years ago on the northwest side, the side with the ocean view and the golf course and that road that gets way too close to the top. And we had just crossed that road when I saw an old pink quilted blanket beside the trail, weighted down with stones. And it had a note pinned to it that said, "Dead raccoon, watch your dogs!" Exclamation points. And I shuddered to think what a dog can do with a dead raccoon. Selah was eagerly sniffing around the edges, and I was a bit curious too, so I picked it up and was blasted back by the stench of decay. And there was a dead raccoon in there, all right, covered with maggots. So I replaced the blanket, but I made it a point to walk by there over the next few days. And on the third day, it was still there during my morning walk. So that afternoon, I grabbed a trash bag, a couple mutt mitts, and I steeled myself against Selah's pleading brown eyes, and I walked up on the hill alone. When I got there, I put the mutt mitts on my hand and lifted up the blanket, and the raccoon was still there, but much diminished. And there weren't as many maggots either, but the smell was still there. I stuffed the blanket into the bag and headed up to the parking lot. And usually, early on a weekday afternoon, there might be one, maybe two cars tops in that parking lot. But when I came in out of the wilderness with mud mitts on my hand and a bulging trash bag, that parking lot was full of cars and people. I stuffed the trash bag into the trash can and blended in with the crowd, and I found out that they were all space geeks. You know, the kinds of people who used to make model airplanes when they were kids. And I was talking to one of them a few minutes later when over his shoulder, I noticed a lone vulture soaring around from the southeast side of the hill. And soon others started joining, singly or in groups of twos or threes from all different directions. And they formed a big swirl overhead, either working the ridge lift or catching a thermal off of the parking lot. A couple of them peeled off and disappeared in the trees where that dead raccoon lay. And just then, a rocket launched off, because that's what those space geeks were waiting for, the launch of the biggest rocket ever to be fired from Vandenberg. And as that rocket launched off, we all looked to the southwest and watched as that fat, white contrail of smoke climbed higher and higher into the sky.